Okay. If you're not seated, you should be. Our invitation song tonight, All Things Are Ready, 317. This actually is Eric's night to extend the invitation, but he is away and working, and so I've been asked to extend the Lord's invitation tonight, and I'm very glad to do that. I wanted to talk just a moment tonight about the Lord's instructions. We often call the Great Commission. But if I may lead into that by a reference to what was in our auditorium class, I just told Rocky I thought he really did a good job with the class in 2 Thessalonians. And as I was thinking about the text of the second coming, my mind went back, and it doesn't seem that long ago. But I well remember memorizing the text under the teaching of my friend Bob Waldron. I would have been 17 years old, I think, at the time. Bob would have been 27 or 28. He was my older preacher, you know. And where the text is saying in 2 Thessalonians 1 that it is a righteous thing, seeing it as a righteous thing for God to afflict those who trouble you. And the next verse says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Except when he asked me a question about that text, he didn't start with verse 6, he started with verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. And he said, is the word rest a noun or a verb? And I thought, well, you know, I'm pretty sharp on this English stuff. To you who are troubled, rest with us. He's telling them to rest. So I said, it's a verb. Well, it's not a verb. It can be used as a verb, but it's not a verb there. It's a noun. God's going to render two things. He's going to render trouble to those who afflict you, or affliction to those who trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest. So it is a noun. It's a thing that will be rendered, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not telling them to rest, but that they will receive rest. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. The concept of rest that was depicted with the land of Canaan, the book of Hebrews talks about that if Joshua had given them rest, there would not remain that promise. But there does remain a promise of rest to come. So eternal in the heaven is that. And I'm glad to treasure such good memories that have impacted my life for now, well, basically a half century. And on that day, there will be only those two retributions. There will be affliction. The text says punishment. For those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it describes the punishment in these words. It says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The word, the preposition mata, from, has the force of away from. And this touches upon what I think is the most frightening and terrifying trait of hell. Away from the presence of the Lord and away from the glory of his might. C.S. Lewis said that there are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God will sadly say, thy will be done. Because if we choose not to respond to the love of God and not to desire the Lord and not to devote ourselves to him, God can only sadly give us what we want. We don't want him here and now. If that's the case, and so we will not have him for eternity. I said the wanted to mention the Great Commission. My mind continues to go back to how the Lord is saying in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, two things. One is that we disciples are to teach the nations, all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Paul referred to obeying the gospel. Those that know not God and obey not the gospel in our text of 2 Thessalonians 1. There's obedience to the gospel that is initial obedience to the gospel that is in the first part of that Great Commission when we are taught. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone, therefore, who has heard and has learned cometh unto me. John 6, 44 and 45. And it's God's will that when we come to him, having been taught, when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Every sin is remitted. And we have thereby made a declaration that we want to be devoted to him all of our days, that it's a quest to know and to do what he wants us to do. And that's covered in the second part of the Great Commission, which says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And it's interesting to me in Acts 2, verse 41, when on the day of Pentecost, when the terms of the Great Commission were preached for the very first time, Acts 2, 41 says that there were 3,000 that day that were baptized. The next verse says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And I like the rendering there of the New American Standard. It says that they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching. To be devoted to something, to pursue that, to live for that. And that is describing in just in such brief terms what the Lord is calling upon us to do. Not to just add some feature to our life, but to be so devoted to him that it's a quest to become more and more like the teacher. In Luke 6, verse 40, the disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, shall be as his teacher. Tonight, if you have never yet rendered obedience to the gospel, there are only two roads. There are not three roads. There's the broad road that leads to destruction. That's the path of least resistance. You can carry anything you want to on that road. You can do your thing on that road. It leads to destruction. The other road is a narrow road, and it is made narrow by the confines of God's word. And so as we walk that path with God's help, that leads to the destination of life. There are only two destinations, not three. The straight, narrow leads to life, the broad road to destruction. So you think about passages such as our brother Rocky covered tonight and other texts that show how the implications are so strong of if we don't obey the gospel, that the only thing remaining when we die and ultimately at judgment when the Lord comes is separation from the Lord and from the glory of his power. But we obey the gospel not to just avoid the pitfalls of hell, but because we want to be with the Lord, because we love him, and we want to be among the saved. We want our salvation, and we want to be with all the saved and with our Father in heaven. Tonight, if you're subject, all things are ready. You're invited to come. You now have that opportunity as we stand and sing.
Amen.